So I'm How can I say things For the things you have done for me Things so undeserved That you came to prove your love for me The voices of a million angels Could not express my gratitude All that I am and ever hope to be I owe it all to thee. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God. With his blood, he has saved me. With his power, he has raised me. To God be the glory for the things he has.
Isn't he? Isn't he?
she? Is it he? Beyond compare, treasure rich and rare, marvelous and whole. Isn't he? Isn't he? And you alone, be honored and adored. Yes, you alone, be glorified in praise. And you alone, be honored and adored. And you alone.
Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for how marvelous, how wonderful, how glorious, how good you are to us, Lord, how majestic you are. The beautiful things that you've done for us, Lord, so beyond our imagination, Lord. You know, salvation, that was the greatest gift you gave us. And if you didn't do anything else for us, Lord, that would be more than enough. But you've done so much more beyond that, Lord. You've given us so many things. You've granted us your grace, your mercy new every morning. You have poured out your love and your kindness on us every day. You've done more than we even acknowledge, Lord. And we're so sorry for not taking the time to really pay attention more closely to all the things that you've done. Not just the big things, but the very small things, Lord, that we overlook sometimes. Or we just take it for granted. We take you for granted and we just think it's going to be there all the time, just the same. Not realizing that that's just a blessing that you freely give us every day. And at any moment, we could lose everything. And then that's when we would realize what we have. So Lord, help us to never take you for granted. Never take you for granted. Because we know if we start to take you for granted, we'll take other people for granted too, Lord. And we don't want to be those people. We want to be ones that are truly grateful, have hearts of gratitude for everything, Lord. We praise you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so let's see, first testimony. How about you, Tracy? Come give us a great testimony.
Greetings to all. On Thursday, my son, Joshua, the third one, was registering for university intake for next year. So the closing day was Friday the 10th. He just left this thing for the last minute. So he registered and did everything. And then we say that we'll do the payment the following day because I had to go and deposit money into my account. So I leave work, go to the mall where I'm supposed to deposit. I find that I don't have my bank card. I look for this bank card. I can't find it. So what do? I have to drive home. I come home, look for this bank card, look for this bank card, and the hours are now ticking. I'm saying, oh my God, what is this now? So we begin searching for this card in my wardrobe, and then we finally got it in one of my tops in the pockets. I say, oh, okay, now you rush because I'm feeling so exhausted. I don't feel like driving. I didn't want to drive. So you rather rush, go and deposit this money and come back. Let's go in and go into the web and the university's website and then let's do the payment. So he goes and comes back. And then we try now to do the payment. This is the last day. Friday was the last day. So we try and do the payment. The system just couldn't. We just couldn't get through. And then later on, I say, oh my God, this is the last day. It's possible that they have closed. So we say, let's just keep on trying. Let's keep on trying until later on, it gave us a message to say that systems update. We say systems update when is the last day? When has that ever happened? And then the brother who is in the same university but is doing part-time work says, I know those people, they usually open for 1 month, but this time they open for 2 months. So it's possible that they've closed. Anyway, Mama, just leave it. So what I will do next year, we are going to register him as a latecomer. So, but that one is a hectic system where you've got to go in person and things like that. So it's very hectic. So I say, okay, let's just leave it. But deep down, I'm now worried. I'm saying, how can it be? How can the system every time, even if it's the last day, but when it comes to these children, the three boys, when it comes to their education, it has been so hectic for me. A simple thing that is supposed to be simple will be like a milestone for me. It will be hectic for me. So this the father passed away 15 years ago. So every time anything to do with those children is very hectic. So I've been saying, is it now that again? Now I've got to go into prayer and what is it? So I just leave it and say, maybe it's the system. Let me just leave it. And then I tell him, I'm going to sleep, but just be trying because they normally by 12 o'clock, midnight, that's when they have got to end and cut everything. So he says, Mama, I'll keep on trying. So I sleep. And then in the morning, I get a message, the prophetic word that came this morning. So I read this prophetic word. It was early today. I woke up early because I just that thing was behind me saying that how could we fail to register him, even if it was the last day. So I woke up early, I read this prophetic word, and then I say, what? I think I have to, especially the two that that really touched me was the walls, the visible and the invisible walls. So I say, what? This is a good message for me today. Let Michael just come out and then go to work, and then I will do my prayers. So Michael goes, and then I say, yeah, he's gone now. Now I can begin my prayers. I went into my prayers. It's a warfare now. Went into my prayers. I took this towel that is green and red and put it on the floor. That's where I was standing. I said, today I'm going to pray. I'm going to pull those walls. I'm going to ask God to pull those walls. Just as the message was, you have to pray. You've got to mean it. And then you've got to pray and believe it. So I prayed, I prayed, I prayed. After I prayed, I decided I had, after all, I had done my homework before. I had written all what I want to do and all the 10 verses down that Nicole had also said, you write 10 verses that you actually want and speak them loud and speak them into the air. So I wrote those verses after pulling down the walls, after telling the invisible walls to throw themselves into the sea. I then went into my 10 verses, proclaimed them, pronounced them, declared them into the air. And then I finished. And then I say to myself, let me put these three songs. I call upon the angels. I say, angels, now let's come and dance for the Lord. Let's dance for the Lord. Let's dance for our God. I invite the angels to come and dance with me. So I danced those three songs. I finished. And then when I finished, I said, I'm done. And then I hear a voice, where are you going to? I come down and sit. There was a song that was playing that says, You Deserve It by Nathaniel Bassey. So I sit and then listened and started worshiping God. Whilst I'm busy worshiping God, a voice comes, remind Joshua to go and do the payment. I call Joshua. Joshua, did you continue trying to do the payment? It was around today, around 10 a.m. So I say, yesterday, 10 a.m. So he says to me, but I was trying all along. It didn't allow me to do any payment. Anyway, since you have said I should try again, I will try. He goes, he tries, he calls me, Mama. I run to him. And then he says, which card should I pay from? What four numbers? Give me the last four numbers of the card. I tell him. He goes, does the payment. There, it reflects on my phone. Boom, the payment goes through. I say, how? How did that happen? Because the last day I went into the system, I checked. It still says the last day was the 10th. So the university means it closed at 12 o'clock. So I say, oh, this can only be God. This can only be God that allowed this payment to go through. I come and thank God, you know. And then I decide, the whole day today, I just reserved this day to listen to the testimonies. So I spent the whole day. See, I didn't come out of my bedroom. I spent the whole day listening to testimonies until evening when I decided, okay, let me just go and cook now. I went and cooked. And then the whole day I was seated here, there was a string that I was looking at. I was thinking it's a string. I was looking at the string. It is the color of my towel. It is red and green colors, the towel that I put down. But the string that I was looking at, it was red, like red pinkish, that deep red pinkish. So I was looking at this the whole day. I'm saying, but how did that? It's a string. How did it get there? I'm just shocked. I just looked at it the whole day. So I decide in the evening, I've finished cooking, I've finished eating. Now I say, let me close my bedroom door. Let me just use the bathroom. So when I come out from the bathroom, I say, let me pick up this string. I got the shock of my life. And then I look at this is not a string. It looked as if it's double strings. So this color was the color of my towel, the reddish part of it. So I'm looking at this. It's not a string. This is a feather. I take this feather, come and sit on my bed. And then I say, but how come this feather is deep pinkish? And then when you look at it in the center, it's white. At the top, it changes like it's whitish, pinkish, reddish. You can't understand this feather, but it's very beautiful, unique, not thinnish, longish. So I'm saying, how? I look, I sit, I have this feather on my hands for a long time. So I'm asking myself, huh? So when I called and said, angels, come down and dance with me, because the feather was just a little bit feather from the towel where I was standing and doing my prayers and also danced there. So maybe they came and danced with me, but why is the feather in this color? Because when I was looking at this towel, I'm saying, oh, this towel is beautiful colors. Maybe the angels just, you know what, copied this color of the towel. But this, I held this feather for a long time. I said, oh God, I'm not sure why this feather is this color, but the whole day I didn't go anywhere. My windows were not open. Where is this feather coming from? I just want to thank God. You know, the way our God does his things is so amazing. I thank God that we managed to do the payment for him. So I'm just thankful. I thank God. Amen.
I love it. This one is fresh out of the oven because it just happened.
Amen.
Oh, beautiful. And since you said you listened to the testimonies, you heard me talk about the angel feathers.
Yes, I did.
Is that your first time getting a feather?
In that color, I got shocked, but in this color, I was wondering what type of angels actually came to be with me. And so, yeah.
That's so fun.
Amen.
Thank you for sharing that. That was wonderful.
Amen.
Okay. Carmina, you have a testimony for us today?
Yes, yes, I have. Yeah. Some years back, like maybe 2-3 years, when I was doing the Daniel fast with MOP, on that day, my brother gave me a disturbing news on the very first day of the fast that he has been retrenched from his services and the employer gave him just 1 month notice period. He was a bit worried as his children were small. They were just 2 and 1 year old, two of them. And he was the only earning member. He told me that he had applied for some jobs and if he does not work, then he would try with some small business for a day's living and asked me to keep him in prayers. He told me not to mention it to anyone, any of our relatives or anyone in the family, because my mother is old and he didn't want to tell her. And he didn't want anyone to tell her also. So that's why he told me to keep quiet. And otherwise she would have taken a lot of tension. This news was disturbing to me, but I surrendered it totally in the hands of the Lord. And I told my brother, I'll keep you in my prayers. And asked him also to pray about it. So our fast got over and when his last working day came, I called him in the morning to comfort him, saying, don't hold grudge against your employer. And when you are leaving, live with a good note. Knowing my brother, I also told him, see that you don't get emotional when you say bye to everyone in the company. In the afternoon, he called me back that very afternoon. And he told me he got a call from an interviewer for an interview that very afternoon, that last day of his. with a similar kind of a job offer, and he would be going for an interview. And he said, please pray. So I was working. So I said, I went straight to a private place where no one could see me and prayed for him in the spirit. He went for an interview that afternoon, and during his lunch, that was during his lunch break. And it was a success. He was offered the job that very moment with the same salary. He told me that he was so happy that evening when he was saying bye to his current employees. And he was full of joy that he didn't even get emotional when he was saying bye to everyone. So I thank and praise God. He works in ways we cannot understand. He has turned my brother's sorrow into joy and answered our prayers.
Amen. 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 Okay, Lavorne, you have one for us today?
Yes, I do. So earlier this year, I'm in the rebuilding phase financially of my life. And earlier this year, my car insurance was canceled due to not paying it on time. And so when I went to a new insurance company, they told me that because of that non-payment or on time, I would have to pay the insurance premium up front. So instead of doing monthly, I would have to pay everything up front. And so, but they said, you know, we will let you do it in four payments instead of, you know, however much, I think it was 3,000 or 4,000 up front. They said, we'll break it down into four payments, which was, I think it ended up being $750. Once a month, four payments of $750 over 4 months. And so this has never, like, I've never experienced these financial challenges until like these past, I'd say past 6, 7 years. So I've been constantly crying out to God because I know he is pruning and training me, and I know he's rebuilding. It's painful. So the first payment, I was fine. I was like, okay, I have that. It's fine. But the following three payments, I was like, okay, how am I going to work this? Because I wasn't planning for that. I wasn't expecting that. And of course, I need to eat. I need to take care of my son, all this stuff. So, you know, I prayed. I said, okay, God, like, obviously, you know, you're going to take care of me. You're going to work out the details. And I know God is faithful. My thing is, I always wonder about the how. And so, you know, I said I was going to leave it with God, and I did. But, you know, every now and then I would come back and I'd be like, okay, it's getting closer for the next payment, and, you know, whatever. So I have a sister. She is in the States. I'm in Canada. And we talk on text mostly, but she's married. I don't really talk to her husband much other than, you know, hello. And if he's with her, I will say hello and whatnot. So I hadn't talked to him or her in quite like several months. And so one day I was at work, and so where I work, my phone, the service networks don't always work. Like, we can't always get text messages, or we can't always use our phone where I am, like where I work. And so usually I don't get any messages until I get out of the buildings that I'm in. And so this particular day, I'm sitting at my desk, and I just happened to look down, and I see this text from my brother-in-law, which is very weird because he doesn't text me. We don't have that kind of relationship, right? So I see this text, and he says, Hey sis, are you okay? How are you doing? And so, and it came through, which was surprising too, because usually I don't get messages during the day. And so I saw that message. I thought, huh. And something dropped in my spirit. I thought, oh, wow, I wonder what made him just randomly send me a text in the middle of the day. And so I text back. I said, hey, yes, I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. How are you? And then he texts back. He's like, I'm good, but are you sure you're okay? Do you need anything? Do you need help? So in my pride, I text back. I'm like, I'm good, everything's good. And then I felt the spirit just like nudge me. And so I said, you know what, I am good. But I said, I am experiencing a financial challenge right now. And, you know, so yeah, I was just honest with him. And so he said, so then he says to me, okay, it's done. And before, like within a couple hours, he had sent me the second payment for the insurance. And then he texts me back and he's like, he says, next time, sis, don't hesitate. Make sure you reach out. And so it was just one of those surprising, because each payment that has been due or was due for this insurance, I didn't know where it was going to come from. And each of the four payments were covered and in ways that I didn't expect, right? And so my brother-in-law, again, I wasn't expecting it, and he was quite adamant. He's like, this is yours. You're not giving it back to me. And then now we've gone back to crickets. Like, I don't really talk to him. So it was amazing. I just saw God. And same with the other payments. Like, another payment was covered by a friend too, who, you know, just felt, I guess, led to do it. And so it was just encouraging to see how God took care of me and how he used, yeah, he just, the way he did it was not what I expected. And I had to check myself, because I nearly missed that opportunity because of my pride. But he came through. And so, yeah.
Amen. Yes. I know what you mean. And, you know, it's a new way of living and understanding the Lord's provision. I think even in the beginning when I just got saved, you know, when you read the scriptures and it tells you that, you know, he's telling the disciples to just go from house to house, and if they don't receive you, just shake the dust off your feet and move to the next place. And I always thought to myself, oh, well, that's for them. That's never going to be for me. You know, is that that's for a certain type of person. That's never going to be my life. You know, and no, that's not how it works at all. Because a part of that, it's not that God doesn't want us to have anything and just be walking around in poverty and living paycheck to paycheck. It's not that. It's learning the lesson of trust. And you can't trust until you learn to trust. And so if we always have everything figured out, if we always have enough money to pay for everything, if we always have somebody we can call, we never learn to trust. We just, especially when it comes to provisions, I'm talking now, okay? Or even food, whatever it may be. If you always have a way to get it, you've never actually learned to trust God in that area. And so I find that he will put all of us through that period where we have to trust him. And it's I believe how we handle it determines how long we stay in it. I am wholly convinced of that. How we handle it determines how long we stay in it. And that's twofold. Either you are completely taken out of that, where that never happens again, or you're actually still living the exact same way. It's just you don't carry the burden of it anymore. You literally learn to just go with it and not feel the anxiety that you did in the beginning when you didn't trust, you know? So, yeah, that was a lesson I had to learn too. And I've noticed, because I failed in the past, and I failed when I didn't realize that I failed. I failed by relying on different things and people and, oh, I can do this or I can do that to get myself out of this. And I failed. And so he had to put me through it again And then when I finally learned the lesson, and I was like, oh, okay, I think I get this now. Then I was good for about a year, and then he brought it back again, like a test again. Do you really trust me? Yes. And I can tell, because you get this feeling in the pit of your stomach, and then you just have to work past that. And once you learn to fully just like, okay, Lord, whatever it is you want me to do, I'll do. However you want it to look, it'll look. And I'm okay with it. And then it's easier, you know, really. And then you realize that you are going from house to house. It just looks a little different, but it's the same concept and principle, you know? Anyway, sure. Okay, so I want to hear from Sharon now. Sharon, are you ready to share your testimony with us?
Hi.
Hey.
Good evening, everybody. Okay, so Nicole asked me to share two testimonies, and both of them boggle my mind. The first one, I'll read it because it's easier for me to read it. I have it written down anyway. So the first one is, I met and became good friends with a woman who brought her son to my in-home daycare. Her son was no longer coming to my daycare when she called me one night, and it became clear she was very troubled by something. She disclosed that she was pregnant, and her husband did not want this child. They had two boys, and he was adamant he did not want any more children. She was extremely distressed about the situation because the marriage was already very bad. Her husband was mentally and emotionally abusive, with impending threats of physical violence always hanging over her. She knew she couldn't and wouldn't have an abortion because she feared God. She is a Christian, and actually the family, he is also a Christian, but Catholic, and he wasn't going to church. She kept saying, how can I have an abortion? How can I have an abortion? We talked for a bit, and then she hung up, still really troubled. Shortly after her son had started coming to my daycare, she had started calling me for help and advice. I was able to help her renew her faith in God and support her spiritually. The night of her call, I took her situation to the Lord. I had become so very troubled in my spirit, I started weeping and crying out to God. That was the first time I had ever been overcome with weeping while praying since I was still a new Christian. Out of my mouth came a prayer I was kind of shocked at, but I asked anyway because I was so disturbed and I was weeping. I asked the Lord, how could this be? And since he was the giver of life, could he take the child away? It just came out of my mouth. I really hadn't thought of it before. She didn't call me for a few months, but during the conversation, she finally said, oh, that thing is no longer there. I asked her, what thing? Because I didn't know what she meant. She told me she had gone for her ultrasound, and a few minutes into it, the sonographer said, it's not there, out loud, and she had to go and get the radiologist to look at it. My friend couldn't understand what was going on. The radiologist came and looked at the ultrasound, and he confirmed there wasn't anything there. I asked my friend if she had bled at all, and she said, no, no spotting, nothing. So it's like, what? The Lord in his mercy removed the baby? What? It's like, wow. To this day, I'm still boggled by that. And I think this is the second time I've shared this testimony. The first time was with a friend. We were talking about abortion, I think. And then I shared this testimony with him. And he said, don't tell anybody. But I don't agree with him, but it's never really come up. So anyway, it's just, wow, God is so merciful. And his mercies are truly tender and new every day. I've certainly come to learn that. So it's like, wow, glory to God. Okay, so my next testimony is, I had been raised a Catholic, but fell away when our family immigrated to Canada. My parents never ever came to church with us children. Our family was very dysfunctional, and we came to Canada in the late 60s when the hippie era was just taking off, the sexual revolution. We had no outside family support or friends because of the dysfunction in our family, which drove relatives and friends away. My life also spiraled out of control because of poor choices. In the mid-70s, I shared a house with others. All of us were involved in what is now called the New Age. The house was disbanding, and we all had to find our own accommodation. This was very troubling for me because I was a single mother with two children and on government assistance. One day, as I was leaving the house, a female neighbor came rushing out of our house to hail me. She excitedly and with her breath reeking of alcohol, told me about a church apartment that was coming open and that I should go and ask at the church about it. We had never had any interaction before, although she lived two doors down from the house I was living in. She had a husband and two kids, but we rarely crossed paths. And if we did, there was absolutely no interaction whatsoever. I didn't leave the house on a regular schedule, so she would have had to watch for me. The speed with which she rushed up to me was surprising because she was obviously drunk. Then when she finished her message, she literally rushed back into her house. I don't even think I said anything to her. I was so caught off guard. We never spoke to each other again, and maybe didn't even see each other again because I had to move very soon. At the end of our street was a rectory belonging to the Anglican Church, which was situated behind our street. I did indeed go and talk to the secretary, and the church kindly rented the two-bedroom apartment to me with hardly any questions asked. I truly had no idea where I was going to find a place to live. When I think about this incident now, and actually I'd forgotten all about it until a few nights ago when we were sharing testimony, this just came into my mind. I'm astounded at the mercy and the goodness of God. I had not come back to Christ yet, but he cared so much for me and my children that even when I was dead in my trespasses, he moved on the heart of an alcoholic neighbor to deliver me from homelessness. It's like, wow. And the priest, even though my son and his son played together, the Anglican priest of that church, and I would sometimes go to his house because I had to pick up my son, he never invited me to service or nothing at his church. So it would be another about 5 to 7 years before I came to Christ. And that's my testimonies. Praise the Lord. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. I wanted her to share these testimonies because of how unusual they were. I think sometimes, you know, like she said, she shared this with someone before, and they were like, well, don't tell that testimony. But the truth of the matter is, God did take the baby out of the woman's womb. These are the facts, you know what I mean? And it's just how he does things sometimes, in which is why I it's important, especially when you have an anointing in your mouth, Sharon, or whoever else believes this or feels this, you have to be very careful what you say, you know, because you realize that your words are very powerful. And so, yeah, God hears them and he does it. And so it's so important that we are very careful when we speak. Yes, never to be like influenced to do things from the wrong spirit. because then you'll say the wrong thing. But yeah, that was a miracle that happened there. That was a supernatural thing that happened with that woman. That's what you call a sign and a wonder and a miracle. And she got that. God was merciful to her, because who knows what the outcome would be if she did not. If she still had the baby, really. Something would have probably happened to her, not good. Anyway, the second one that was important for her to share as well is God answering the prayers of the non-believer. Now, much like her story, I have had a similar situation too, and I have had at least two times or three times where, you know, like you grow up in a Christian household, you can go to church, but you're just religious. You don't really have a relationship with Jesus Christ. So while I knew Christ, I wasn't really saved and following him. I know of him, but I didn't really know him, because I go to church every Sunday when I was a young girl. I went to Catholic school. I went to Anglican school. So it was around me, but the relationship wasn't there. So, you know, it was the same thing. I was here as an international student in the United States. I wasn't really talking to my father, even though he was a citizen here. I decided I didn't want anything from him. So I paid my way and got here as an international student, studying on a student visa. This was before I reconciled my relationship with him. So when you're an international student, you don't have access to student loans and things like that. You have to pay your way through college. And so I went ahead and I was doing that. I was working so hard, different jobs, to make the money to pay for my university. And I came up to like the third year and I couldn't. I ran out of money and I wasn't able to make the payments. And they were like, you need to have this paid by this date. They gave me a deadline to stay registered in the program. You have to be registered, have the classes paid for, or you're in violation of your status in the United States and we'll have to alert the government. And it was, oh my gosh, horrible feeling of having that pressure on me, you know? And so I went to a nightclub one night, believe it or not, in a nightclub. And I was dancing, and there was this girl drunk, just like Sharon said, she was drunk. And she was there with her friend too, a male friend. And he was like, oh, my friend, she doesn't have any girlfriends. And you look like fun. You two should hang out together. And so I started talking to her. And following morning, she was apologetic that she was so drunk and didn't know what she was doing. And anyway, we started hanging out. Well, by the following week, I'd known this woman only 2 weeks, 2 weeks. Now I'm getting the threatening letter from the university. And she called me when I was on the ground crying over it one day. She was calling me on my phone to say, what are you doing Saturday? Let's go to this club. I'd just known this woman for 2 weeks, not even. And so, you know, I was trying to like not sound like I was crying. And she was like, what's wrong with you? I was like, no. And she was like, no, no, really, really, what's wrong with you? So I started to tell her, and I'm crying, what happened? What was gonna happen? And so she says to me, oh, what's the first student loan for you? The girl from the nightclub that I had just met 2 weeks ago signed for a student loan for me. I don't know this woman, and she does not know me. And That's how we became friends. She signed her way on. She paid for my university for the following year, the 1 year that was left. And she was like, yeah, and you know, once you get your degree, the agreement was that I would have 2 years to work. It was a part of the visa. And that's when I would pay back the loan after I got out. And I was in shock because I couldn't believe that she would do that, because quite frankly, I wouldn't do that. And you know how it is when you, if somebody's doing something for you and you're realizing, you know, if I were you, I wouldn't do that for me. I wouldn't do it. You know, I was like, she's really going to put her credit and her name on the line for somebody she met in a nightclub? She did it. And it was at that moment, you know what happened? It's like, even though I wasn't saved, really. It was at that very moment, as I'm sitting on the ground crying over it before she called me. Here's what happened. I need to back up on this story. I remember sitting on the ground and saying to God, God, are you going to help me with this? And remember, now I wasn't saved. So it wasn't like I was praying all the time, but I knew he exists. I said, are you going to help me with this? I've come too far. I've done this 3 years already. I'm on my final year. You know, are you going to help me with this? And I don't know if he said it to me or I came to the realization that when I decided to come here for school, I never asked him. I never asked him. And I remember thinking, or I said it out loud, oh my gosh, I never even asked you if I should be in this country or not. But here I am now crying because I might get kicked out and never finish my degree. So in that moment, I said to him, if you want me to stay here, you'll make it happen. If not, then I guess this is it. I literally had just finished saying that when she called me. And she decided to pay. And at that moment, when she said yes, and I was like, what? And it was in shock. It clicked in my head. Oh my gosh, I'm supposed to be here. I know it sounds weird, but it was at that moment that I realized that the Lord wanted me here. I was supposed to be here. So I was like, okay. And the process, I thought to myself, even up to the following day, I thought, this girl is probably going to hide from me. She's not going to call me back. She's probably going to hang up the phone and the guy she was at the nightclub with is going to say to her, are you crazy? You can't do that. But no, the following day she called me because it was late at night and we couldn't process the paperwork that time. She goes, I'll call you tomorrow and we'll do it together over the phone. She called me the following day and everything was done. I'm telling you. And I paid that thing back so fast. I didn't even wait to graduate because all I thought in my mind is, oh my gosh, I can't ruin this woman's credit. And interestingly enough, this was the person that invited me to church. And it was that same church that I was in, even though I was only going there Christmas and Easter. That's where I got saved, the place where she invited me. So you see, all of it is connected. And I believe, you know, people ask me sometimes, does God answer the prayers of the unbelievers? Yes. Onto salvation. Somewhere there's a connection to your salvation. And so if he's going to answer the prayer of the unbeliever, it is to make himself known to them in such a way where they're like, wow, there is a God. You know what I mean? It's not, okay, I will give you what you want like some genie. No, it's going to be the kind of testimony when he answers them where they're like, okay, there is a God. Okay, he is looking out for me. Okay, like he literally just made some strange woman that I just met in a nightclub pay for my schooling. But you never forget it. This is what I've noticed is the unbelievers, when he answers their prayers, they almost never forget the testimony. When we as believers will fluff off things, not the unbeliever, they're going to remember that weird thing that happened that one time, you know? Anyway, I just wanted to share that. Now, I would never have a non-believer pray for me because who are they praying to? No, they don't have the kind of relationship to pray for me. That I would never do. But I would pray for them. And if they ask me if they can pray to God, I would say, yeah, sure, because I do believe he will answer their prayers sometimes to show himself to them like he's real. There's my take on that. All right. I have like so many angel stories, but anyway, let's that's right, he sure does. What about Susan, you want to share a testimony?
Yes.
Yes.
Hello, everyone. Right. Mine is in pieces, but the one I can share now, because we haven't got that much time, is to do with my children. I used to be so worried about my children. Well, about many things, but mostly my children. I'm like primarily responsible for them. It got much worse in COVID because one of them had to go to high school, and they were threatening that if he doesn't get vaccinated or tested often, then he can't go. And also, he's asthmatic. So I worry, or used to worry about him quite a lot, because we'd be in hospital very often. He's on an inhaler. So that COVID was really difficult for us. And now on one of the, I don't know if it was a January prayer or another with MOP, because I was just trying to cry out to God to say, this worry that I feel every day, it was almost decapitating me. Like he's in school, I'm literally worried the whole time until he comes back. Including the other children as well, because they'll pick up all these flu, and when they come up thinking, oh, it could be COVID and whatnot. But on one of those prayer, I can't remember what kind of day it was, but I didn't have my children on the list of prayers that I had done. I think Nicole, you said something like, oh, Susan, God says he's got your children. I remember that vividly because at that moment, I actually cried so much. Like there'd been so much tension about this fear for my children, like a lot of it. So I cried it all out. And after a few months, we had to go into hospital, but not because my son was like really sick, but it's because he lost his inhalers and then he started panicking. And then was losing breath, and we couldn't find an inhaler. Here, you can't go to a pharmacy and buy one. So we had to go to A&E. So when we were there, I had prayed like Psalm 91 over him and covered him under the blood of Jesus. Because what normally happens if you, when we go in, they start treating him based on how he came in last time. And he used to be quite like serious, needing oxygen and everything. At one time, he was almost going into ICU, but they put all that in the notes. So on that day, immediately, they were going to put him on this protocol. But I was like, actually, no, he does not need all that. We went into this, like an isolation room where they'll prepare for almost ICU kind of treatment. And there was this new doctor. By the way, for the first time, that hospital stay was not traumatizing for me, because every time I go in, I will be so traumatized, exhausted, and like time stands still. But on that one, all this did not happen. In my mind, I was like, God said, He has got my children. So there is no way my child is coming into this hospital, get so sick, go into ICU, or probably die. So I told myself, that's not going to happen. And I told God, of course that's not going to happen. So why is he needing this protocol? They're saying, yes, they're doing tests. And they're saying, oh, he's so tight in his chest. And I'm telling them, it's because he's panicked. He said, no, it's because his asthma is so acute this time. Now, this doctor didn't want to listen to me. I was like, all right, God, but you can hear me. And I started praying. She started putting in, like, cannulas to prepare everything. That thing did not work. I was really praising God and literally asking, do not let my child have a treatment that he does not need, because that will just make him worse and we're not staying here long. I kept praying that way and praising God for giving me that knowledge that I can just stand on to say, you know, they're yours. I didn't ask you, but you said you've got my children, so I'm standing on that. She tried on the legs. It wouldn't happen. Like, she'll find a vein will get lost. She used so many needles. I told her, can you just stop? But she won't have it. And I got a little bit upset to say, you're not listening. You keep hurting my child. And he's not getting worse, like you said. So I prayed to God, actually, because I couldn't ask that lady, doctor. I prayed to God, can you give my child a different doctor? So this doctor just happened to come onto this ward. It's not really hers. She came from upstairs. She was like, what are you doing to the other doctor? No, I'm preparing for what? These are the tests that we have. This child is very sick. What? The doctor just looked and said, stop everything. They argued a little bit. I didn't want to come in. I was just speaking to God because he's the one that can sort it out properly for me. They argued and they stopped that protocol, removed him from a room where they're preparing for ICU, and said, take him to the ward, continue with just the oxygen you have. Don't put any needles in because you've hurt him on both hands and on both legs, and it's not happening. No, it's because of the veins. The doctor's like, no, anyone can do a cannula, even not a resident doctor. Even a nurse can do a cannula. So what you're doing, do not force it. You've been doing it for about half an hour. And she kind of got removed from my son's care. And I thanked God for that. And she had said before with her other team, apparently the asthma team, he's going to be in the hospital for 10 days. I said, no. Well, in my heart, I said no. And my son was hearing that, which was making him panic even more. But he asked me, Mom, am I really going to be there for 10 days? I said, no, you're not. How can they know what is going to happen tomorrow? How can they even, like, put a number of days on it? You've never been here for 10 days. And I prayed for fear to come out of him. And he was quite peaceful. And it's never happened before. But I was so happy and thank God. So we went on the ward. They carried on with oxygen. They wanted to give him antibiotics, but the same doctor who came earlier said, no need for that. Just carry on with what you're doing. Maybe give him some saline just to help him hydrate properly and things like that. We literally came out the following day, and that was the last time my son has ever been to the hospital with asthma. The very last time, and it's very unusual. So every time we go to a check, to a follow-up, they're always surprised. Oh, what have you done different? Well, I say nothing, really. Cause I don't know if we can talk about I've been praying, but I just say nothing. I keep saying, my son is fine. My son is in God's hands because God says so. So he is not going to suffer all those things. All the allergies that we used to say he's got, I keep saying it's not serious. He can eat the nuts. And nuts is supposed to be a serious allergy, but they gave him EpiPens. I said, we'll never use EpiPens, and we never have. They keep sending all these things, and I'm like, No need, because God says he's got my child and he has answered a prayer to give me a different doctor. And in the moment he's done that, and I was like, yeah, I really thank God for the peace. Like, even when the children have gone out, like on the school trip, I am not worried that much about them. Once I cover them under the blood of Jesus and I keep praying Psalm 91 or Psalm 24 over them, I trust, literally trust that they're fine. Which if you saw me like 2 years ago, that was so different. So I thank God that he gave me this peace. And the cherry on the cake is protecting my children. Yeah, that's my testimony.
Amen. He's protecting all of our children. Amen. Okay, well, tomorrow, remember now, we're moving it up to 2 p.m., 2 until 3:30 p.m. Eastern time. So it's going to be earlier tomorrow, 2 to 3:30 Eastern time. So I will see you all then. Thank you for joining us again today. This has been wonderful. Have you guys been enjoying this time as much as I have?
Yes.
Very much.
Yes, yes, so much. I praise the Lord for that.
Okay. So I will see you all tomorrow at 2 p.m.
Okay.
All right.
It's a date.
Yes. God bless you. Bye.
God bless you all.
God bless. God bless.